And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And they wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
If we look around this auditorium, we find that there are some empty seats. Some of the places are not filled because Christians have gone to other communities. Some of the places are empty because Christians are now worshiping in a different congregation. And there are some spots that are vacant because of apostasy. Like the son in the story that was just read, there are some Christians who leave the faith. When a child of God departs, it is almost always like Jesus described. A member of the church leaves the family of God, but they still want many of the things that God offers. As you look at the story in Luke 15, consider what we have with a young man. Here is a fellow who reaches a time in life who wants to leave home. He comes to his father and says, Dad, I want my inheritance. Give me the money. But did this young man want to continue a relationship with his dad? It's of interest, I trust, to each of us that he did not say he wanted an apartment across town, but he wanted the material goods that his father had so he could go into a far country. What happens when a Christian leaves God? And we're talking about departure from God in the long term. It generally means that a child of God says, God, I'm no longer going to serve you. I am no longer going to honor you when it comes to doing the things that Christians do. Forget it. This part of my life is over. But even though the Christian makes that kind of decision, is it not almost always the case that the child of God has a but in there? I am departing from you, but I still want you to hear my prayers. I want you to hear me in difficult times. Save me from the sins. Save me from my sins at the end of time. Watch out for me. I'm going to leave, but I want all the good stuff that you have. That's essentially what the young man in Luke 15 did. Perhaps the young fellow in Luke 15 is a man that we can have some sympathy for. There were some things that he may not have known. There was some growing up that he needed to do in life. But how can a Christian, no matter how new he or she is to the faith, be excused for apostasy? Being an apostate member of the church is indefensible. Well, what causes people who are children of God to leave the faith and go back into the world? There are different answers. For some, the world becomes attractive. There are those who believe that if God can be disconnected from their life, or if people can somehow get rid of him, then they can direct their own life. And this is an old problem. Back in the book of Jeremiah, and I'll cite this reference but not actually read the text, in Jeremiah 10:23, the prophet said, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And that's simply a way of saying that the idea that we can get control of our own life or control our own destiny without God, that's not possible. Jeremiah knew even in his day and time that many people had tried this approach to life, but it was not possible. Yet there are a number of cases, especially with young people, where they come to the point, they reach a time when they want to control their own destiny. This may have been why the young man in Luke 15 wanted to leave home. Others reach a time in life when they want to be free of rules and regulations. Since Christianity is a system that does have some rules and regulations, this way of life is sometimes abandoned. There are others who decide that they will leave the faith because they're searching for something. The thing that is being sought varies. But something else besides God and the faith that he has given to mankind is desired. It's not uncommon for people, at least the people that I have talked to, it's not uncommon for people to leave the fold of God because they have some kind of fantasy. There is the idea that if we leave behind God, if we abandon the church, then we're going to be able to live out our dreams. We're going to be able to do some things that we've always wanted to do. An apostate Christian envisions how life will be so much better without God and the gospel. As you look at the story in Luke 15, we find that this theory has been tested, and it has been tested very well. Based upon what is described by Jesus, we must say that life away from God brings slavery, but people think it promises freedom. Sin promises success, but it results in failure. Apostasy promises a good life. At least that's what people envision. But Paul said it results in death, Romans 6, verse 23. Luke 15 tells us some things about apostasy. This passage shows what happens to the fantasy that people have when they think that getting away from God will provide them with a great life. A time comes, either in this life or in eternity, when reality sets in and there is regret. Consider, if you will, some of the things that we find in Luke 15 as we look at this young man. He reached a point in time where his money ran out. He came to a period in life where there was not enough food for him to eat, and he was hungry. He was a foreigner on strange soil. There were no government handouts that he could sign up for. The people that he'd grown up with, his friends, his family members, they were far away. It was impossible to send a quick message back home to ask for help. He may have been lonesome. As you look at the entire picture for this young man, you find that he was destitute. He thought that he was leaving for the good life, but Jesus says he wound up in a pig pen. Literally. He did not immediately realize what the future would hold, but he eventually had to face the cold, hard facts. In this story, he was a young man who managed to get back home. He went far away, but he was finally able to return. And this account is so similar to someone who leaves the faith. When a Christian leaves the Lord, they are headed for the pig pen. Maybe not literally as this young man, but they are on the wrong path. That may not be immediately clear. There are cases where people do not realize this. That is a mistake until eternity. But leaving God, or being a weak Christian, definitely puts someone on the wrong road. And this path is a path that some manage to return from. I can name some Christians who have left the Lord for an extended period of time and they've been able to come back before their dying day. But there are also some cases where people are away for so long, or they stray so far into the world and into sin, that they never make it back. There will be Christians on the day of judgment who appear before the Lord, and Jesus will say to them, "There was a time when the two of us knew each other. There was a time when you were my child. We were once in fellowship with each other, and we were on the same side. But you left. You departed, and you never came back. And because you terminated that relationship, and that was not restored, you did not return. You have no part with me and in my kingdom." Those who do leave and manage to come back find that going away was not worth the trip. Imagine if this young man were here this morning and he were recounting all of his experiences, and someone at the end of his testimony, the end of his storytelling, asked him the question, "Was it worth it?" What would he say? The answer is clear from the text, and we can be sure of his answer. He was so desperate to come back home that he was willing to be treated like a servant. He wanted to leave home, perhaps to live out a fantasy. And the Bible shows that he did get to do exactly what he wanted. But he found that in life his dreams were not realistic, and really they turned into a nightmare. And those who leave the faith, perhaps for a short time, perhaps for an extended period of time, discover a similar fate. The apostasy and the lack of gratitude in this story must have been heartbreaking to the young man's father. Most agree that the father described in Luke 15 is a reference to God. If this is right, we must say that the father was a good dad. He was the best kind of father. He was not like the man who fathers a child and then leaves the baby. Neither was he like a father who was hateful to his children. This man loved his sons. If the father in this story describes God, he tried to raise his children in the right way. He must have worked hard to accumulate an inheritance that one day would have been given to his sons. Like God, this father must have been looking forward to the time when he could have given his sons the things that he had worked so hard to accumulate, the things that he had treasured up for them. But this son one day came to his father and basically repudiated all of the work that dad had done. It was like he spit on all of the work that his father had tried to accomplish for him. When you look at the request, it would be like a son coming to his parents today, coming to dad, and saying, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. You're going to live for a few more years, and I just can't wait that long to leave home. I know that you've been storing up some things, and just go ahead and give it to me now so I don't have to wait until you kick the bucket." even in our day and time, this kind of request would be brazen and almost unheard of, and especially so in this culture. Yet we find, as we look at the account, that the father complied with the son's request. He gave the child the inheritance and allowed him to go. This presents us with an interesting thought. What happens to a child of God when he or she falls away from the living God? What happens when a Christian becomes weak or indifferent? Does God run after the person and say, "Come back, come back"? This account, if it does describe God, and I maintain that this is the case, tells us that that does not occur. This account gives no indication that the father ran after the son and pleaded with him, "Oh, please don't go, it's a mistake, come back." And the same is true for each member of the church. God allows us to stay or go. God does not force people to stay in the body of his son. There may come a time when a fallen member of the church is chastised. The Hebrew writer warned about this in Hebrews chapter 12. We may be disciplined. Our departing certainly grieves God. But we, if we so choose, are allowed to leave. This decision is one that each one of us makes. Are we going to stay or are we going to go? As you look at the account, here's another interesting point. You find that a time came as this young man was in the far country that a famine arose. If you study the Old Testament, you find that famines were frequently associated with judgments from God. Now, we cannot say for sure, but since the word famine is in the text, that may be suggested, that may imply that God's judgment came upon this young man. The day came when the good times ended, and he decided that he needed to go back home. And this is the way that waywardness always ends. If we did not have all the details in this story, we might not be able to draw some conclusions about the young man and his life. For instance, what if this story ended with the young man leaving home? We would never know what happened to him. But in telling this story, Jesus provides us with all the details. And based upon what's said, it is abundantly clear that this young fellow was able to see a full view of life. He was able to see both sides. He knew what it was like to be raised in a good and godly home. He knew what it was like to have someone who cared for him. He also knew what it was like to have a relationship with God. Because notice from 21a, if your Bible is still open to Luke 15, as he is thinking about his former life, he's coming back. He says, "God, I have sinned," or saying to his father, "I have sinned against you and against heaven." This young man had some kind of spiritual training in the household. So he knew what that side of life was like. But as you look at this chapter, you find that he also understood the second aspect of life, that is the party, the worldly life. Let's go out and engage in riotous living, 13b. After he had tried both sides, he said at the end of verse 19, "I need to go back home, and I need to see if I can become a servant." In case you've never looked closely at the 19th verse, let me encourage you to take now a brief look at that. Because the word servant is modified. He didn't want to be just any servant, but he said, "I want to be a hired servant." You see that in the text? For those of you who know something about slavery, if you've read about that sad time in our nation's history, you know that there were different kinds of servants. There were house servants, and that was true in Jerusalem as well. A house servant was treated well. A house servant got to stay in the house. A house servant was implicitly trusted. That was the best kind of servant to be. And then there was a second kind of servant. That was the hired servant. This was the person who probably didn't work in the house. It'd be like the farmhand who stays out in the bunkhouse. This is the person that might be here today and terminated tomorrow. So when this young man says, "I'm going to go back and I want to serve as a servant in Dad's household," he was talking about the lowliest possible position. He says, "I am willing to be at the bottom of the ladder, if you will." Well, the young man found the world to be very, very disappointing. So he decided that he was going to come back to Dad's house. Do you know that the Bible says, reading now from 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, that the Bible says God has a house? Paul, towards the end of this chapter, says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This young man said, "My father's house is the right place for me to be." What should be our response if we're a Christian to God in his house? If we are a child of God, if we have named the name of Christ, our response should be, "Father, concerning the church, this is our house. This is our home. This is where we need to be." Like the young man in Luke 15, there are some other places where we could go. There are some other places where we could be, but these places are not for us. Our job, our role in life, is to be a member of God's household, to be a faithful and active member of that household. And we're going to do our share of the work and not leave out our part of the responsibilities. This is a home that we will not depart from. This should be the decision that every Christian makes, but we know that some do leave. If we leave, or if we know of someone who has left, what does God think? I meet people, in fact, I've talked with people recently who said, I don't think I can come back. I've wandered so far away. Consider, if you will, the indications that we have concerning the length of time that this young man was away. Sometimes I'm convinced Christians read this passage, or others read the passage and they think, well, maybe he was gone for a month, maybe 2 months, possibly six. I want to propose for your consideration that he may have been gone for as long as 2 or 3 years. And here's how I come to that conclusion. First of all, as you look at verse 13, the Bible says he went into a far country. There were no railroads in this day and time, no airplanes. It takes a little while to get into a far country. It takes a while to come back from a far country. So when you think about the going and coming, there was some time. There was some time that passed as he engaged in his riotous living, 13b. Do not know how long it took for him to spend the money. It may have been just a couple months. It may have been 6 months. It may have been more than a year if he received a substantial part of dad's inheritance. There was more time passed. As you look at 14a, additional time passed because of the famine. And then as you look at 14b, we have some additional time occurring. There was the period where he began to be in want. He spent some time looking for a job. How long did he look? We do not know, but we do know, we may say that that took some time. He found one. How long did he work at his job? We don't know. It could have been a couple of days. It may have been 6 months. But as you look at all of the information that we have in Luke 15, it is not unrealistic to believe that this young man may have been away for 2 or 3 years, possibly longer. He'd been away for a long time, given a lot of heartache to dad. Yet, what do we find in the text? Going back towards the middle of the story, Luke 15, verse 20. And he arose, he's made the decision to come back home, and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Although this son may have been astray for several years, it's indicated in verse 20 that dad was still looking for him. What a great point. Dad had compassion on him. Dad ran to him and said, "Welcome back." According to the story, the young man was instantly restored. And this part of the story is fascinating as well. Looking at one more verse, verse 22, "But the father said to his servants, after the son is back, bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet." Servants did not wear shoes. So when the father says, bring out the shoes, he's saying this young man is not going to serve as a servant. He is part of the household. He's one of the masters. He is being restored to the position that he had before he left. And the ring was not just any old ring. But the ring, we might compare it to a modern day credit card. Can you imagine that? Here is the son who has left for, let's say, 2 or 3 years for the sake of illustrative purposes. And he has wandered, he's wasted, he's squandered a substantial part of money. And as soon as he gets back home, dad says, let's give him a little more money. That was the love, that was the concern, that was the compassion that the father had for his dad. And then the dad said, you go and you get the best robe. Question, who would have had the best robe? I suspect it would have been the father. That would be a natural conclusion to draw. So if that's right, dad says to the servant, you go into my bedroom and you draw from my wardrobe, my best suit, my best clothing. And you bring that out along with some money, this ring, and you bring out a set of shoes because this young man is being fully restored to the household. If this passage describes God, it means that God loves all people. For the person who leaves God, it means that God wants an individual to return. For the backslider, God wants wayward Christians to come home. Are we a wayward Christian? Have we in one way or another left God? If that's true, the picture that we have in Luke 15 means that God is waiting and watching for us to come back home. He wants to restore us to full fellowship. No matter how far we've wandered, no matter how dirty we've gotten, we can come back home and God is waiting for us. He's waiting and looking for our return. Or with someone who is not a Christian, but we have still gone into that far country. We've gone far away from God. We can be a child of God. We can be saved. The gospel invitation is open to all. Each one is invited to become a Christian. And each one is invited to stay faithful to God. Have we obeyed the gospel? And are we continuing to do our part in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth? 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. If we can help you become a Christian, you've never been baptized into Christ, but this morning you believe in the Lord, you want to live in the right way, if you're willing to confess Christ as Lord, you can take that final step, baptism, for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 22, verse 16. A man who was willing to comply with those conditions was told to arise, to get up, to be baptized, so he could wash away his sins. Or if you've drifted from the Lord, and like the Son, we can help restore you back to the church of the living God, bring you back into the family of God so that you can be active and productive. We stand ready to help or aid you in any way that we possibly can. Will you not come as we stand and sing this song?